wonder how many have thought of what happened 144 years ago tonight, the night of November 12, November 13, 1833. People went to bed that night little dreaming of what would happen before morning. But not long after midnight, the greatest star shower in the history of the world began. And from then till daybreak, all over North America, the heavens were aglow with the light of the falling meteors. Professor Olmsted of Yale University estimated that there were no less than 200,000 meteors visible at one time above the horizon at Boston. And as fast as these fell, others took their places, keeping up the display until the light of the rising sun caused them to fade out. Heaven had placed its signal where all could see it, that the time had come when those who were watching the signs could know that the coming of Jesus was near even at the doors. And it's still near even at the doors, my friends. And do you know how near a person is when he's at the door? Well, that depends on how fast the people inside open the door. And it's no longer a matter of time, but a matter of response. For the time of the end is here. The last days are here. And while the Lord is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. And therefore, he has tarried. Thank God, the blessed hope is certain that we shall see him soon. This evening, I want to look with you at this wonderful book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, the book that focuses on our time, the end time. I want you to notice the word that begins the third verse of this book, Revelation 1:3. Revelation is a book of many symbols. Its numbers are significant. There are a number of threes in the book of Revelation. The three angels' messages of Revelation 14, perhaps, are best known in the threes. There are the fours, the four living creatures about the throne, the four square city. And when you put three and four together, you get what? Seven. And the number seven is used a great many times in the book of Revelation. It stands in the Bible for perfection or completeness, fullness. And so we have the seven candlesticks, the seven churches, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven plagues, and there are other sevens in this wonderful book. Tonight I'm going to study one of those series of sevens with you, the seven Beatitudes of the book of Revelation. When we hear that word Beatitudes, we usually think of our Savior's blessings in the Sermon on the Mount as recorded in Matthew 5, and these are indeed Beatitudes. But the same voice that spoke from that unnamed mountain beside the Sea of Galilee, spoke to John, his dearly loved friend, there on the Isle of Patmos, and told him to write down these Beatitudes for the benefit of the church in all ages, and particularly for the church of the last generation. Will you read with me Revelation 1:3? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now this word blessed is also translated happy. It includes the idea of joy, satisfaction, prosperity, what's good for a person, blessed, receiving blessings. That's the idea. The Hebrew word is Asher. This book, of course, is written in the Greek, but the Hebrew influenced the book of Revelation. In fact, much of the imagery of the book of Revelation is borrowed from the Old Testament. We're told in the book Acts of the Apostles, page 585, that in the Revelation all the books of the Bible meet and end. So that means that in every book there are certain notes sounded. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and so on down through the patriarchs and prophets and apostles. In each book, certain notes are sounded, which if we listen, we'll hear them again in this final symphony of the book of Revelation. And this word, blessed, coming from the same word that means happy, is repeated 7 times in this wonderful book. The first one, very fittingly, pronounces a blessing upon those that do what? Read this book and listen to it and do what it says. Food, of course, is a joy to behold on the table, but nutrition is dependent on what? Eating it. Now let's go back to Jeremiah 15:16, and here this note that the prophet speaks in this ancient prophecy, the echo of which we may hear in the beatitude we have just read. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah found joy and blessing in eating the words of God. We find this figure in the book of Revelation in the 10th chapter. The angel has a little book in his hand, and the prophet John is told to go and take that book. It's open in the hand of the angel and eat it. This is speaking especially of the great Advent message of 1844 based on Daniel's prophecy. My point is, there is blessing in eating the words of God. And so the book of Revelation has this special blessing pronounced. I might call attention to this fact. Of all the books of the Bible, this is one that popular ministers have often warned their people could not be understood. There are reasons for this. An earnest, faithful, sincere study of the book of Revelation will lead people to the testing truths of the threefold message. Elder Richards tells about one popular minister who said it was too bad this book of Revelation was in the Bible. He said if it weren't for that, we wouldn't be bothered with these Seventh-day Adventists. And I think he had a point. I think he did. Oh, friends, I wonder if we are conscious how much we owe to this blessed book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Indeed, without it, we would not be a movement. We would not be a people. We would not be a church. It is in this book that in a special way we find the identifying photograph of the remnant church. Right? And thank God, as we read this book, we can say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in our ears. Thank God, as we read this book, we hear the call of God calling to His sheep in every fold, His followers in every church. Come out of Babylon, the confused religion of this last generation, and come into the remnant church which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy. Blessed indeed is he that readeth. The thought, the idea, that the book of Revelation is a sealed book, not to be understood, is disproven by its very title. Of all the books of the Bible, this is the one that we should expect to be clear. The Revelation. And what does that mean? Something clear, something shown. It's true there are symbols here. They need to be studied. And I tell folks, if they don't understand it all, ask God for light and do what is clear. The path of the righteous is as the light of dawn that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now will you read or repeat with me again Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So we're getting a blessing as we read and study this book, right? The next beatitude is clear over in the 14th chapter of Revelation and the 13th verse. It comes in fittingly at the close of the threefold message, as this message draws to its close, as the announcement of the present judgment, the fall of Babylon, the warning against the mark of the beast, as these warnings accomplish their work, a people are prepared, pictured in the 12th verse, that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then follows the beatitude of the 13th verse. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. This may sound strange, but God sometimes says some things that sound strange. They're not strange to him. The only reason they're strange to us is we're not thinking in those lines. But oh, what a wonderful thing it is to those who are called to lay away their loved ones who have gone to sleep in Christ under the preaching of this message, to read this text and find the special blessing that God has promised. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. From the preaching of this threefold message on to the end. Now, let us go back and find the note which is echoed and re-echoed in this beatitude. Isaiah, the 57th chapter, verses 1 and 2. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. You notice some of the very words spoken here are echoed in our beatitude in Revelation. They shall rest. And who is this? The righteous. And this text in Isaiah gives us an interesting angle, showing us one of the reasons that God, in his love, lets certain ones go to rest. What does it say? The righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Does the book of Revelation portray that great time of trouble, such as never was? Does it picture the falling, the pouring out of those seven last plagues that bring such anguish upon the wicked, and a certain amount of suffering during that time of trouble to the righteous? No wonder God, in his loving providence, as he thinks of each one, recognizes that for some, the great blessing will come in resting, resting in the grave until the resurrection call. So, from henceforth, from the preaching of this message on, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We think of the pioneers of this message, of Joseph Bates, James White, Ellen White, Stephen Haskell, J.N. Andrews, Uriah Smith, and then a host of others coming on down through. What a cloud of witnesses. What a glorious life. And thank God, soon Jesus is going to call them from their dusty beds. Meanwhile, blessed, blessed, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The next beatitude is Revelation 16:15. This occurs in the setting of the seven last plagues. Here, as the sixth plague is described, this plague of miracle-working demons using miracles and signs and wonders to gather the wicked to Armageddon to fight against God, there is a warning and a blessing. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Those who come up to this last great test, when all the world is leagued against God and his church, those who come up to this test will be in one of two camps or classes. They will either be standing with Satan in law-breaking or standing with Jesus in law-keeping. Turn, please, to Zechariah, the third chapter, where we get an interesting picture of the garments that the members of the remnant church will be wearing at this time. Zechariah, the third chapter. Here the people of God are symbolized by Joshua the high priest. In the opening part of it, the third verse, we see Joshua clothed with filthy garments. But as the vision proceeds, in the fourth verse, he hears the command, take away the filthy garments from him. And the dear Lord says, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. This experience has been repeated in the life of every repentant, believing soul down through the ages. But in a special sense, it applies to the remnant church in the closing hours of the great day of atonement, when the iniquity of God's people is blotted out forever, and they are clothed in white. And concerning this, our beatitude in Revelation 16:15 says, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Oh, the trouble with Laodicea, the true witness says, is that she thinks she's clothed, but she's ragged and half naked. But thank God, the true witness counsels and offers to provide white raiment that she may be clothed. Thank God for the offer of the righteousness of Jesus, not as a cloak to cover sins that we hang on to, but it represents the precious blood of Jesus to cover every sin that we confess and give up. Blessed indeed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Now Revelation 19:9. Another text which suggests the garments. And this is the middle beatitude of the seven. We'll read beginning with the seventh verse. The sixth, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now will you read with me the ninth verse? And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Indeed, what a blessing for those who are invited to share in this marriage supper of the Lamb in the kingdom of God. You remember that Christ on more than one occasion used this symbol. In Matthew 22, We have it in the parable of the marriage of the king's son and the guests. Each one is provided what? A wedding garment. Again in Matthew 25, the first 13 verses, we have the parable of the 10 virgins, guests at the marriage feast, waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And our Beatitude says, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Have you received your invitation? Down in the corner you'll see RSVP. You know what that means, don't you? Have you sent your acknowledgement? Have you let heaven know that you're accepting the invitation? Oh, what an infinite price has been paid for your seat at the table, for the robe that's to clothe you as you come to the feast. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. I know this, dear friends. In this life, whatever event you attend, whether it be a birthday celebration or a wedding, you miss something else. Right? There's no way to be two places at the same time. And if we're going to be at this wedding, there's a lot that's going on in this world we'll have to miss. It's a good miss. What do you say?
Amen.
Now Revelation, the 20th chapter and the 6th verse. Here's our word, blessed again. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The expression, the first resurrection, of course, implies a second resurrection. There are two resurrections. And in this 20th chapter of Revelation, a special blessing is pronounced for those who are in which one? The first. This is at the beginning of the 1,000 years, when Jesus comes from heaven, calls his sleeping saints. He speaks of it in the 5th chapter of John as the resurrection of life. The other is the resurrection of damnation, and occurs 1,000 years later. All the righteous will be raised before the millennium begins, and all the wicked must come up to face God at the final judgment at the end of the 1,000 years. That's the message of this 20th chapter of Revelation. But now let us focus on this blessing. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Here I catch an echo from the prophecy of Isaiah, the 26th chapter of Isaiah in the 19th verse. Hear the exultant song as the prophet looks forward to this time. The man that wrote this through prophetic inspiration was later a martyr, the cruel King Manasseh, in his zeal to cut down the saints and prophets of God, had the prophet Isaiah put in a hollow log and then had the log sawed in two. Thus perished this man. But thank God, before he died, in prophetic vision, he looked forward to the glorious resurrection day, the first resurrection of the blessed and holy. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Won't it be wonderful to see Isaiah in that reunion day? And the faithful from righteous Abel, the martyr there at the gates of Eden, on down to the last one, all coming forth from their graves. You know, friends, if we're fortunate, if we are among those who live through, we'll see all these graves being opened, won't we?
Amen.
And even if we go to sleep, and are among those special blessed ones of Revelation 14:13, we'll rise in the special resurrection and thus be present to see the general resurrection of the righteous. In any event, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in what? The first resurrection. You notice in these seven Beatitudes, two are especially for the dead. Most of the people of God who will be in the kingdom will be those who come from the grave, won't they? Yes. They're blessings for the living too. Now we'll come to the last chapter of Revelation, where uniquely we find two Beatitudes in one chapter. Revelation 22:7 is the first of the last two. Here Jesus is speaking. Behold, I come quickly. Three times he tells us this, behold, I come quickly. And here with it he puts the beatitude. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Here we have an echo of that first beatitude. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and what? And keep those things which are written therein. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Will you turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, and chapter 5, the 29th verse. The blessing is dependent not simply on hearing, not knowing alone, but on keeping. Deuteronomy 5, 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Why does God tell us things? That it might be well with us. This is the blessing of listening to his word in both the Old and New Testaments. Again, the 11th chapter, verses 26 and 27. How Moses longed for Israel, that he had led those 40 years to learn the commandments of God and follow them faithfully. Again and again he went over them. Deuteronomy 11:26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey. So there it is, friends. The blessing is not merely for those that listen, those that know, but those that what? Do. Now this is again emphasized in the closing beatitude, Revelation 22:14. And I am sure there are scores of people here that know this one by heart. Shall we say it together? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I was thinking of expressions in the Old Testament of which this final beatitude is especially an echo. Notice this in Isaiah, the 48th chapter in the 18th verse. On the happy results of listening to God's law, keeping his commandments. Steve, why don't you read three verses for me, and this first one is the one we've just called for. Isaiah 48:18.
Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea.
Is there a blessing for those that keep the commandments? What's the blessing here?
Peace.
Peace. Thank the Lord. Now, let's go to Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and the second verse. See if you catch the expression here which is re-echoed in our final beatitude. Isaiah 26:2.
Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in.
Yes. What words do we have here that are over in Revelation 22:14?
Gates.
The gates. And thank God. The gates are open in Isaiah. The gates are open in Revelation. And in both the Old and New Testament, the truth is emphasized that the gates are open to those that keep something, those that do something. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Catch the echo? The re-echo? Thank God. Now on that word blessed, Proverbs 29:18. What other word did I tell you this word blessed may be translated? Happy. All right. Proverbs 29:18.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Does it make people happy? Blessed? Ah, the Bible says so. Proverbs in the Old Testament, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. John, the last apostle and prophet of the New Testament, blessed, happy are they that do his commandments. Now, dear ones, there will be many who will say, yes, but I can't keep them. Well, you can't keep them without Jesus. And anybody would be foolish to try to do it without him. You know, this whole thing of going to heaven and getting ready for heaven is something that we're dependent on Christ for, isn't it? Do you ever wonder how you were going to get from this planet to the throne of God? It'll be a miracle, won't it? Listen, if Jesus can work with such mighty power that he can transport me from this planet to heaven, don't you think he can get me ready? Now go back to Revelation, the 14th chapter, the heart of the book, and notice that 12th verse again. Here's the picture of those who receive the blessings of these seven beatitudes. Blessed, 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 blessed. Here they are, all together. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Not the commandments of God without the faith of Jesus. And certainly, friends, not an emasculated, cut up, torn apart, so-called faith in Jesus, which omits or defies the commandments of God. Here in this last book of the Bible, the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus are joined in indissoluble union. Are they being joined in your life? Are you finding by experience that the happy way, is the way of God's law through faith in Christ? Oh, but somebody says, I fall. I was reading about a little girl. She was being examined for baptism. The minister asked her if she had been a sinner, yes, but she believed in Jesus as her Savior. Well, the minister said, are you still a sinner? Well, she thought a little and she said, yes, I guess I am. Well, he said, what's the difference then between now and before? Well, she thought and she said this. She said, before, I was running towards sin, but now I'm running away from it. I think she had it, don't you? And that's the change that the gospel makes in human hearts. In our human weakness, through faith in Jesus, we can run away from that which is as natural as breath to do the wrong thing. Thank God he's working miracles in human hearts. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Thank God. Now we're going to spend a little time in witness. Whatever your response, come forward and let heaven rejoice as earth speaks of the blessings of Jesus experienced in human lives.
Yes, Dr. Bushnell, glad for your word.
We've really been blessed in our home.
these last weeks, and we thank the Lord for His love and for His tender mercies toward us. And down at school where I teach, they knew something of what had gone on in our home. And it was so good to be able to tell them of the joy that we had and the courage that we had. And far from being dismayed and downhearted, we were just looking up. And I know that the Lord has used all these things together to give a witness to many, many people. And we thank Him for His great love. And as we think of our boy, we've read this verse.
Thank God.
In Isaiah 57.
Yes.
Many times.
Yes. Thank you, brother. Isn't it wonderful to have the present truth?
Amen.
Meat in due season. Food that's right, appropriate for the moment. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, dear friend.
I've been here about a month at Wildwood, and I just want to thank the Lord for bringing me here and for helping me to get up, because the devil just tries to stick me in my seat every Friday night. And I just was so impressed tonight that I'm just so thankful to be a part of this beautiful church. And I just want to praise Him tonight that He has given me the invitation, and I just want to say that nothing is going to get in my way, and I'm coming.
God bless you.
I'd just like to share with you tonight a quotation that Sister Tyndall shared with me this week from the book God's Amazing Grace. It says simply that a consistent life in Christ is a great miracle. And this is what I am asking God for in my life. I really want this consistent life of love to Him and keeping His commandments. And I believe in miracles.
Thank God.
Amen.
So does He.
I've certainly been inspired this evening with this study of the book of Revelation. I am purposing this evening to walk through those gates with as many as I can take with me. And Jesus was asked the question, how shall we know the way? And He said, I am the way. And I'm going to trust in Him to lead me step by step, day by day, through those experiences and finally through those gates.
Thank God.
I learned a real good lesson this week. I noticed you'd mentioned something about food on a table and that we can sit there and look at it and analyze it and tell all the good things in it, but if we don't eat it, it doesn't do us any good. And so I just purpose in my heart tonight that instead of going to the Bible to analyze it and look at it and things like that, I want to go there and find what's in it that's good for me, that I can grow in Christ.
Good.
I'm thankful tonight for the first time of having the opportunity of coming forward. I've kind of waited till the Lord would impress me to come forward. I'm thankful for the opportunity of being at Wildwood and enjoying the presence of God in each of your lives. I can see that we all need growth, but I praise the Lord that through His strength we will overcome. Tonight, as I look back over the many providences of God, He was talking about falling. I'm not sure whether this experience really happened in my life, but I'll share it with you. As if it did, because I think it did. But when I was around 2 years old, just a little child, I remember I was in the front lawn, and I was playing, and I fell down, and I was crying. It was a beautiful sunny day, but I was crying. And it just seems to me that I looked up, and right beside me was this tall, beautiful gentleman, and he took a hold of my hand, and he picked me up. The Lord truly can pick us up, and He can lead us through those mighty and beautiful gates. It'll be beautiful to see Him.
Thank you, my friend.
I'm very thankful to be here tonight and very grateful to the Lord for His goodness. And He's done so much for us this week and helped us and strengthened us and given us so many good things. And He's just so good, and we should praise Him more. And I was reading in my life today for worship one morning about praise and how we should praise the Lord. And Sister White says if we start praising Him here, well, then this won't begin our praise when we go into heaven, because in heaven we'll throw our crowns down at His feet. And so I decided with Stacy that I praise the Lord more through the day. And so whenever He did something, I praised Him for it. And I received such blessings and such strength and such courage. And when things would come on me where usually I get discouraged or something, well, I'd say, well, praise the Lord, Stacy. You know, we could have, you know, like I burned my finger. I said, oh, praise the Lord, I could have burned my whole hand or something. And it really made it, you know, not bad at all. And so I really found a blessing in this and praising the Lord and everything. And I'm sure you will too.
In my study of the Bible, I realized that the Lord is always having a quote in the Bible. He's always quoting how He wants to make His children happy. Blessed are they that do this, and blessed are they that do that. But as I read my Bible, I saw that not only does the Lord want us to be blessed, but the Lord is also blessed. And I read this in Psalm 68, verse 19, and it says, blessed be the Lord, happy is the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. God is very happy every day to load us down with blessings. And if we don't accept them, this don't make them happy. And happy is the Lord, who daily loadeth us with blessings. That text has been a real strength to me.
Thank you.
An interesting experience working with the children, and it's interesting the experiences you'll get led into. Within the past few weeks, I've been led into two caves, and this isn't my natural inclination or desire, but the Lord has worked a miracle in my heart. And, you know, you get in the cave with your flashlight and you get kind of accustomed, especially if they're large rooms, not these belly type of caves where you slide around. But you actually can get kind of interested in some of the stalactites and stalagmites. But I can tell you it's kind of nice, too, as you turn around, you head back and you see the entrance of the cave or the opening where you head back outside again. And you get accustomed to the darkness inside, but I got such an object lesson as we got close to the entrance again, and the light was so brilliant outside. And I got a lesson in thought that the cave was like this dark little world here, and how bright the new world will be, the new earth. And the security you have as you get back outside in the light again is really nice. And I'm so thankful that Jesus can give us this faith to endure to the end.
I thank the Lord for His day-by-day blessings that He has for each one of us. It's amazing how He can work in so many places at once. But one day during this week, I had a list of things I wanted to get done, and nothing was getting done. Nothing would go right. I went out to saw some wood, firewood for the house, and every time I'd put my saw on the wood, it would take a sharp turn to the left and wouldn't go through the wood. And so I sharpened it several times and had some other people sharpen it, and it still wouldn't work. And so I thought, well, I'll just leave this project alone for today and go on to another one. So I had to dig a post hole for the backhoe, so I went down and got the backhoe, and I took about two digs, and it broke. And I looked at it, and there was nothing I could do about it to fix it right then, so I parked it, and I just felt like my list was getting nothing done. And so I had a miss in my car that I finally found out what was causing it, and I decided I'd fix it. But it was too late to go and get the part, and I just was feeling terrible because none of my things got done that day. And I was just moping around and sort of hanging my head and feeling like, you know, why does the Lord let us work for Him when we don't get anything done? And just ready to crawl in a hole. And, you know, I thought, well, I should drive. I wish there was a parts store open at 9 at night so I could drive in and find the part just to put it on and get that one thing accomplished. But many times the Volkswagen dealers don't even have parts for my car because it's an odd one that they only made a couple years. And I went in, something wasn't working right with the furnace, and I just went in just before I went to bed and opened up this cabinet where I keep all these parts, and I know everything that's in there. And I open it up, and out falls a part for my Volkswagen. And I couldn't believe it. I just had to look at that thing a couple times. It was a used one. It was sitting there, and it was fairly old. And I just thought, you know, how much the Lord cares about each thing. And I don't know how that got there or where it came from. But it was just exactly what I needed. And I just went to bed with joy in my heart about how the Lord cares about each one of us. And I'm thankful for Him.
Thank you.
I am especially interested in the resurrection, the special resurrection of Revelation 14:13. And by God's grace, I want to either be a part of it or see it.
That's right.
I learned a similar experience to Larry's. As I was working this week, I was crawling around underneath a house repairing some leaky pipes. And when I got up this morning, I asked the Lord for a special verse just for me. And he led me to Galatians 6:9. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." And as I thought about going back underneath that house, that muddy ground, I didn't look forward to it, but I took this promise, and it was really a blessing, as everything just fell right together. I just praise his name.
Thank you, Brother.
You know, don't we all take such joy in verses like the ones that we've gone over tonight concerning the resurrection and in the reward of those who are faithful and who take refuge in our Lord and in his will and way? And this was made very, very vivid to me just before I came to Wildwood. I came in contact with a young Indian lad, young Indian man about my own age, and he had been a Hindu until he met some Christians just shortly before he met my sister and I. And we took him out for a walk one day out in the nature and out over the St. John River. It's very pretty there. And he was so happy. He said it was just about the happiest time in his life. And he said he was so glad that he had the opportunity to meet some Christians. And one part of this story is a little bit sad, and yet when I finish this story, you'll be very glad too, as I was when I heard it. But this man died about a week later, and the circumstances surrounding his death is what's so amazing and, in a sense, so beautiful. The police, the investigators could find, and the people who did the autopsy could find no cause of death. He was a young man in full health, full vigor, and there was no sign of anything that had taken him. And they were mystified. They just didn't know what to tell the Indian authorities, because they would have to send his body back to India. And they found a letter that he hadn't finished. It was open on his table. And in that letter, he was writing to his wife and telling her of the wonderful Christians that he had met and the happiness he had just recently come to know. And he was telling her about God. And this is the part of the story that makes me happy when I read the texts concerning the resurrection.
Yeah.
And, you know, we ourselves are happy for ourselves, but I think that God on purpose makes our joy even greater when we consider the souls, the other souls that we've worked for through his grace, and that we see their victory.
Good. Thank you.
Trials and obstacles are the Lord's chosen methods of discipline and his appointed conditions of success. In his providence, he brings these persons into different positions and varied circumstances that they may discover in their character the defects which have been concealed from their own knowledge. He gives them opportunity to correct these defects and to fit themselves for his service.
Thank God.
Ministry of Healing 470 and 471. Well, the week started out with frozen pipes. And somebody left the water on so that we'd have water the next day. Only they left the hot water on, and there was no hot water for a shower the next day. So I took a cold shower. Then, during the week, I made some mistakes, and I got a good rebuke from my boss several times. Then I fell through a sewage manhole cover, smashed up my shins, and went into the sewage with my new shoes. Then my friend took a swing with my new sledgehammer at the wedge and broke the handle on it. And then the Lord gave me a wonderful opportunity to share with someone today, for an hour and a half, the blessing of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And it all was gone. Oftentimes, God does these things, and it's great. We really need it.
He lets you do them.
Yeah, he lets me do them. Thank you. Tonight I believe he's been fitting me all week that I might be able to give him more complete service.
Amen.
And I'm sincerely thankful.
and want to say that if it takes weeks like these to get me ready, I want more. So that I can walk through those gates.
Right.
This afternoon, someone came over to our house, and they were talking about witnessing, and they were talking about how they just wanted to share what God was like to their friends so much, and they just didn't know how. And they were saying, I just want to make them hungry for the Lord. And that just touched my heart. It is what I really needed too. And as I thought about it, I was thinking, well, how do you make other people hungry for the Lord? And I just knew the answer was to be a happy Christian. And I was just thinking, well, how do I be more happy, more happy Christian? I just knew that coming to the meeting tonight, the Lord would give me the answer. And the sermon about keeping His commandments is a large part of this way of being happy. It's just brought in to focus that part of our life of Christ. It's so such a blessing.
God bless you.
Each one, when they come to Wildwood, receives a different and a special blessing.
That's it.
I've been receiving blessings from Wildwood since I was 13, when I came here for 3 weeks. But the blessing that I've been getting tonight has been seeing young people getting up and testifying to the same blessings that I received years ago.
Thank God.
But there's another blessing that's been blessing me more since I've been to Wildwood this time. I don't know, probably others don't notice it like I do. But I notice some darker faces, some darker hair. I notice many from different countries. My own shoulders are burdened with a burden for a good share of the world, in one sense of the word, because I have many friends, Catholic priests, men who are important in companies in foreign countries. I have a burden on my heart for many who are not, shall we say, WASP, white, so on. And I'm glad to see Wildwood becoming international.
That's right.
Because we need to stretch the cords of our tent. We need to embark the whole world with our message. It is a message within a message, and God has given us a burden for the things that we have studied so that we can preach them to the world.
Our God.
And tonight I'm very blessed as I see the things that I've mentioned. Thank you.
God bless you. Number 5, 6, 7. Come, every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. And as we sing these beautiful words, if there's a burdened heart here that would like to seek the Lord, you come, and I know that God will hear your prayer and hear us as we pray in your behalf.